Mark 1:4. This messenger was John the Baptist. He lived in the wilderness and was preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had turned from their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. This next verse, will you join me? It's in your bulletin. We light this candle as a symbol of Christ the way. May the word sent from God through the prophets lead us to the way of salvation.
Join with us as we sing Joy to the World, page 246 in your hymns or on the screens.
Nature sing. And while you remain standing, please turn to page 8 in your hymn book. You'll also find the confession on the screen. I'm going to read the invitation to you before the confession. So hear this invitation. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to invite you to a time of prayer, the silent prayer and then the pastoral prayer. The Lord's Prayer will happen during communion. Are there any prayer requests that you would lift before the congregation at this time?
For me.
For you. Amen. Can I do one?
Sure.
For our family, we have a son-in-law who is having a moment, and is having to undergo some things that is a struggle for our family, and especially our middle daughter and her children that was just here a couple of weeks ago. So be in prayer for them as they go through this time. Anybody else?
Jonathan was telling us this morning that Carson Lottman has had a bad fall, and she's at NHC. She has a broken ankle and a broken hip. Is that right, Jonathan? But they're hoping that she'll be released to go home tomorrow. Is that right? But Dan is having to have 24/7 care now. So we definitely, they're still members of our church, but they were regular members and very big workers in this church, and they've moved to Knoxville.
Okay.
But I'd like for us to remember the Lottmans.
So that's who's on my, names are on my desk that I didn't know who that was when I walked in. Okay, there we go. Okay, catch me up, thank you. And so, anybody else? Let us be in prayer together. Morning. Confessing our sinfulness before you and people around us can be a difficult thing. Offering ourselves to each other can also be something we struggle with and try to find ways to sometimes avoid and other times to joyfully give, preparing our souls for the advent of Christ upon us, leads us to sometimes wonder how prepared we are, and sometimes thank God for God being prepared even when we're not. Opening our soul to you in such a way allows us to find peacefulness, and yet can also allow us to struggle in it. Healing for those who have fallen and have broken bones, may those bones heal in a way that only you can teach to do. For those who have to be cared for even when they and we wish they were healthy, be with the caregivers and the one that needs care, that we could find a place that that loving caring happens and that Holy Spirit intervenes. And the very act of caring for each other, of lifting holy names, of asking prayer for ourselves and our family, knowing that we truly are family by the Holy Spirit and salvation. May healing take place in those places and ways also, Lord, that we would find a peace that only you can give. Now grant us the ability to discern what is needed from what is wanted. And in that ability, let us fully turn ourselves over to you. And let the advent of God, of Jesus the Christ, come upon us. And we offer this prayer in the name of the one who gives hope and joy, and who died on a cross and rose again the third day. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "Blessed Be the God of Israel," hymn number 209, and the words will be on the screen.
Let's pray together. In the grace of the gift of God, let us give to you all that we are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. house of Israel. A virgin mother will bear Emmanuel, for his name is God with us, our brother shall be. With him hope will blossom once more within
So how many of y'all know this song? Y'all know All Earth is Waiting, which is the English title of this song. Anybody know it? No? Well, at risk of having no members at the end of the day, the fourth verse says this. It's one of those songs that has the verses over in print, then it has stuff on the side that nobody ever sings, but it sits over there. And it says this: in lowly stable the promised one appeared, yet feel his presence throughout the earth today, for he lives in Christmas and with us now. Again with his coming he brings us liberty. I don't sing solos, and now you know why. It is a fabulous last verse, isn't it? Again, he is coming and brings us liberty. I've never understood, and maybe it's what's gotten me in trouble over the years, I've never understood Methodist preachers who are afraid to preach. We have more freedom than anybody else. You can't fire me. You can send me somewhere else, but I can't be fired. If I'm Baptist, you could call the deacon board together and I'd be gone by lunch. Amen? All who are raised in a Baptist church know I'm telling the truth. I've never understood fear in the pulpit. This is a great place to be. Why? Well, we get to preach about Jesus. Sounds like a good thing to me. How about y'all? I mean, it's just one of those things that I think through where we are in life and in the church. And I'm afraid we miss the joy of it. Do we have problems? Yeah. Is there stuff that could overwhelm us? Yeah. But I think about joy. We're going to read today a scripture about John the Baptist, and then we're going to speak about it a few minutes, then we're going to take communion. The scripture's Matthew chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. And then we're going to take communion together as family. I talked about this with a group of people this week. I raised two daughters, and I'm raising a third. An only male child raising three daughters. Think through it. And I think about it. And I've watched them grow and have their own children. And I'm watching Gracie become a young woman. She's not in here yet, so don't y'all tell her I said this. And I've watched her grow and become a young woman and in the process of being that. And she has her own distinct personality. And you see the joy and the struggle of puberty. Y'all remember puberty? Oh, that I could forget it. And I've watched that. And you know that sometimes I think the church has never left puberty. Sometimes I wonder if we ever got past it. Think through that, how that works. Because if you see it and you look at it, and you find out that God is present in all places, the hard, the good, puberty, birth, death, how much life brings to us, both good and bad. Marilyn's sitting there going, oh my goodness, he's gone off the rails and he's on his own thing now and he forgot everything he prepared for. No, it's still there. It'll come in a minute. You know, we were driving this morning. I'm supposed to be retired. I'm supposed to be sitting at home sleeping in on Sunday morning to 10:55 and showing up at church with my hair not combed. And so, and yet we get up at 5:50 and we head to Pleasant Hill and we see their smiling faces and see the look on their faces when they bring kids in and we light the Advent candles. And we go to Chevron. Y'all ever been to Chevron? How many of y'all actually been to Chevron? One Sunday, I'm not giving permission to leave here. I'm not. But one Sunday, y'all to go with me to Chevron and just sit in that little sanctuary that holds maybe 30 people, cram-packed in, and enjoy their little family as you come in and seeing them and see the smiles on their face and the little girl that helps me light the candles that I pull the lighter and she tries to grab it from me before it goes out and we almost set the church on fire 3 or 4 times a week. And I mean, it's great. And their Advent candles today, they forgot to replace them, so we almost set the Advent wreath on fire when we was lighting them. I mean, it's fabulous. I mean, and then we come here and the choir sings, you hear the organ play, you hear the voices of people, and you get to see the smiles of folks, and I get to run in set by Larry, and when they announced the wedding on the 17th, I look at him and said, you know those people? And he said, no, I've never heard of them. And you know, it's just the joy of Advent, of what's coming. See, John, in the Gospel of Matthew, John speaks to this. In Matthew 3, and I'm going to ask you if you're able to stand with me as I read this. And just hear it. Just listen to John. Matthew tell the story of John as has been given to him. As those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to rise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into a fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor. And I will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray. And now the grace of the one who brings the Spirit and the fire be upon us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Prepare the way for the Lord. Isaiah said it. John does it. Jesus is the way. But if you watch the baptisms, I could talk about baptism, and y'all probably figure this out now, about 100 times a week. Baptism's a fabulous thing to discuss. John baptizes, and y'all can join me and make this go faster if you want to. John baptized people for what? Say it out loud. For forgiveness, for repentance of sins, right? Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. One for repentance, one with fire. All right, so in a perfect world, which I don't know we live in or not, I'm pretty sure we don't, in a perfect world of Rockwood United Methodist Church, everybody in this building today knows Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen? We'll just amen that and go with it. All right, I got no right to know one way or the other. That's y'all between you and the Lord. But let's just go with it for the morning. So you believe in Christ, your Lord and Savior, and you have repented, right? Okay. How many of us have received the full portion of the Holy Spirit? Amen? Yes? Everybody's got that? Somebody of you are not sure? So let's talk about when, I was going to do this whether you were sure or not, but let's talk about when the Holy Spirit comes. When John baptized with water for repentance, was the Holy Spirit part of that baptism? Think about it. John baptized with water for repentance, and they came out and they repented. And the issue he has with the Pharisees and the Sadducees is not that they're present. The issue he has with them is, why are they present? Are they going to ask for forgiveness of their sins and repent of their sins towards God? He calls them, by the way, this is not a way to gain church members. He calls them, you brood of vipers. Maybe, Jonathan, maybe we ought to set the back door every Sunday morning and say, welcome, brood of viper, come in to worship with us. I wonder how that would go. That might be interesting, huh, if we did that. Don't do it, just because I said it. Think about how that would work if we address people that way. Because there seems to be a sense of, in the Pharisees and Sadducees, a sense of someone who should get everything, whether they have done what they need to get it or not, by their belief that they are part of the family of Abraham. I'm part of the family of Abraham, so this should come to me. John replies by saying, God can make children of Abraham out of these rocks. So you are not privileged just because you're a descendant of Abraham. You still have to repent. You still have to be cleansed. And then he does the separation between water and spirit and fire. Now think about what spirit and fire does. If you are baptized with the Spirit, it cleanses you, right? Amen? If you're baptized with fire, fire can do one of two things. Now, it has other things it can do. I'm going to limit it to two just because of this conversation. If you put a piece of paper in fire, what does it do? It burns it or consumes it. If you put metal into fire, what does it do? It cleanses it. It can make it melt. It can make it become pliable. But once it cools, it becomes what you have molded it to be after you're done with it. Now, if you come into the presence of the one who baptizes with spirit and fire, you either are consumed by it, you don't accept it, you're consumed with everything that keeps you from it, or you're molded and melted and molded and melted and molded again as you grow and you change and you become the person that God has called you to be if you allow yourself to be changed. But I don't know if you know this or not. I don't know, it's not in your house, I'm sure. But some people are stubborn. Y'all know anybody that's stubborn? Some people believe they know better than God knows. Some people believe if they just let God would just let them be in charge, it would work out better. So there's this ability to understand the act of God into your life that is really an interesting part of the baptism that we look at. In some of our baptism rituals, and of course there, but also in some of our communion rituals, we will talk about the baptism of death and resurrection. Have you ever thought about death being a baptism and then resurrection? What happens when you die? Now, there's a question. If you could answer completely, everybody would. You could make millions of dollars. Write a book. Here's what happens the moment you die. Well, you know, what do I think happens when you die? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what I think happens. Now, have I fully experienced that to the point that I can tell you that's how it exactly happens at the moment of death? No, it's my faith. That's what I believe. But we don't know how all that's defined. I know that just 2 weeks ago, and one of the, and I still do this, I was originally a psychology major, forgive me for that, and I have a degree in that, and I used to do counseling and all those different things. So I still read the periodicals in psychology, and I go back and look at the findings of the scientists of the things of the new diseases, and I still, for reasons that probably ought to have my own head examined, I still read the DSMs and look at all the different things and see how many different ways people are being diagnosed and that the things that are there, I still pay attention to that. And one of those new journals, they have found that there absolutely is life after death. They've decided that. I'm glad they told us. Good to be known. And I was reading it going, well, it's about time you caught up. Of course, there's about another 200 people that wrote against that article in that, but, you know, that's okay. They're trying to figure out all these things that we are, when the reality is we think of ourselves as body first and spirit second, when we really are spirit first in the image of God and body second. It is a grasping of what it means to have the Holy Spirit intermingled with our spirit at salvation that changes us, quickens us, burns us, if you will, through fire, and cleanses us to make us different people in our walk with God. It is that conversation of what the eyes see and the ears hear, and it's not talking about physical eyes or ears, it's talking about spiritual eyes or ears. It is that conversation of how that unfolds in our own soul that lets us understand the walking of God with us. So John comes to baptize with water. Jesus baptizes with Holy Spirit and fire. And if we have some understanding of what we do in baptism, of what we do in acceptance, what we do in being cleansed by God, if we have some understanding of that, we are able to move forward in our life with God. We baptize, in the Methodist Church, we baptize infants along with many other denominations. When we baptize that infant, we are doing many things, but three of the things we are doing that are very upfront and obvious, I hope. Y'all know them, right? First thing, we are saying that the parents are confessing that they will bring the child or their children up in the church so they will know the ways of God. The second thing we're doing is the church is saying that we will assist the parents in doing that. We become, as it will, godparents to every child that's baptized. So it's our job, I want to see how many of us have done this, it's our job when one of our church families go astray and they don't bring their children to church and they're not attending like they should be, it's our job to go get them and bring them back. Church members are supposed to go bring them. If they've accepted their vows in baptism for their children or vows of baptism as an adult, it's our job to bring them back. Now, how would that go? I want you to picture this for me. One of y'all go and knock on somebody's door. Hey, remember me? I'm Dave. I'm from the church. You know, I've been going to Brockwood about another 50 years like you have. Hadn't seen you in about 30. Anticipate your presence Sunday morning. If you don't come, I'll be back next week. In fact, I'm coming back every week till you show up or call the police, whichever comes first. And no, I'm not bringing cake. Cake's at the church. Come on down. How do you think that would work? Be received well? Well, we say at infant baptism, the children aren't being raised in the church. That's our job. And the third thing we're saying at infant baptism is that that child, until they reach the age of accountability, if something happens to them and they pass away, they will live in heaven with us for eternity because they're initiated into the family of God until they're old enough to make their own choice. Now, that's three of the things we're saying. There's much more to it. So if you walk through that process, that's what we're doing and saying as we're there in that time. Adult baptism does what? If you wouldn't baptize a child, you either go through confirmation at age 12 and 13 or you're baptized as an adult later. You're baptized and we bring you into the church that way. And you receive the Holy Spirit at the point of your accepting Christ as Savior. You confirm that to the world by your baptism. But you receive it at salvation. Right, those are the baptisms. John's trying to get across to us that there's a part of that is a twofold process, one of repentance, the other of baptism, but the twofold part of it happens together in our time because Jesus has died and rose again on the third day. There's an acceptance of that. Now, if we believe that, and if we've accepted Christ as Savior, and we've received the Holy Spirit, it goes back to what I was doing at the very beginning. God, the apostles, Jesus, never said Christianity was easy. But he also never said it wasn't joyful. Mary Lynn and Gracie and Mark sang this morning at Pleasant Hill, "Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of power, God of love." We sang, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive his king." I wonder, how joyful are you? We drove in this morning in the sun. Anybody up at sunrise this morning? If you were, amen. If you looked out the window, the sunrise was absolutely fabulous. Even for me, who can only see four colors, it was still fabulous. I can see no shades, by the way, of anything. I see four colors. I'm not colorblind, just color weak. So when I'm giving y'all all a hard time about orange, I can't see orange. It's a color I'm not able to see. It's in the red spectrum. I see a kind of a yucky red. It's not really very bright. I can't see crimson either, by the way. So, you know, so it's all just this yucky-looking red thing. And so Mary Lynn could give me an orange shirt and write the word Alabama on the front of it, and I would think it was a crimson shirt that I was wearing out. I would have no idea what it said. I mean, she could just get me without any problem. She hadn't done it so far, I don't think. I'm not sure. It's that I'm afraid we've lost the joy of our baptism, the joy of the Holy Spirit. I'm afraid we're laid all weigh us down. And the joyfulness has been lost in our differences, in our complaints, in our arguing, in our concerns. One of the pleasures of being a pastor is baptizing those infants and listening to them scream or smile, and seeing the parents' faces, of baptizing adults and bringing them up out of the water and see that first look on their face when they're baptized. That joy of that moment. See, I'm afraid we've missed our joy. I'm afraid we've lost the joy that God has given us. I want to challenge you to do something for me this week. I always challenge you. I know y'all know that. I would like to challenge you to attempt something this week. It may hurt some of y'all. I want you to try to go home and be joyful. At least 1 hour of this next week, be joyful. Spend some time, if you don't do anything else, but joyfully thank God for being here, for God giving you life. Even if life's a struggle now, even if life hurts, go and be joyful and thank God for being alive. If you don't do anything but thank God for there being a God and sending Jesus Christ, spend a few moments. Let the baptism of fire and the Holy Spirit, let the remembrance, if you were an adult, of water baptism, or if you had your child baptized as an infant and you watched that, remember the joy of those moments. Sometimes we get so carried away at what went wrong after that. Well, let me help you with something, and then we'll move to communion. Things are going to go wrong. Amen? Isn't that nice? Isn't that exciting? That things will be wrong on occasion? And people say, why is it exciting to be fun and be wrong on occasion? In the midst of what seems wrong, you get to feel and see the power of God making the wrong into right. You get to watch God act. Now, I've got a vision of God making all things well, of God making all things right. I have a vision of how God's going to interact with us. In fact, I have a vision of how God is interacting with us. I can see the Holy Spirit, and y'all, this is a point that people get worried about me. I have the vision, of seeing the Holy Spirit coming down upon us as the Holy Spirit came down upon Jesus at his baptism. And whether he lands on you softly as he does in Matthew, or whether it's more like a dive bomb in spirit that hits you in power and strength that almost knocks you down like it does in Luke, however it comes, there's this vision of the Spirit being upon us as a church. And friends, I got news for you. If we catch that vision of that Spirit being upon us, watch out, Rockwood. Watch out, those who don't know Christ. Because we will be drawing people to God, not our church, to God. church will be part of it. But I've always been more about bringing people to the kingdom than I have to the church. Because what I know is if you bring them to the kingdom, guess where they'll be? At the church. If you bring them to the church, they'll leave. There's such a difference. Communion is found on the screen or on page 15 in your hymn books. I'm reading for the Great Thanksgiving for Advent. I invite you to read, hear the words that are being said in this reading of the Advent Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love fell, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day when justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, when nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be the light to the nations. You scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, and have mercy on those who fear you from generation to generation. You put down the mighty from their thrones and exalt those of low degree. You fill the hungry with good things, and the rich you send away empty. Your own Son came amongst us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on the cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made for us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty actions, Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other, and one in ministry to the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, our honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now let us pray the prayer that you taught your children, the apostles, when you said to them, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm going to ask Mary and Larry if they will come and serve this morning. Morning. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. This is the blood of Christ shed for you. We'd ask you to come as they serve. Let God's presence be with you as we come together. Our closing hymn is page 340, Come You Sinners, Poor and Needy. Let us sing and stand and sing together. Have you ever been to a birthday party where they have one of those candles that you blow out and it relights? Gracie had one of those candles back there a minute ago. She put it out 5 times and it lit back every time. And she's sitting up there going, yeah. So I'm just up here. I know I'm sacrilegious. I'm sorry. I'm supposed to not laugh when they're putting out the candles, but it was just funny. And so she kept looking at me like, do something, do something. And then I'm like, you're putting out the candles. I'm not. And so, so that's why I was laughing at her. With her, something like that. Well, go in peace. May God's blessings be with you this week. It's good to see all of y'all to be with us this day. Remember, we're moving towards Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day. We pray that you will continue to come and be with us during that time and that God will bless us as we go through this season. So let us pray together. In the power of the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God, let us go from this place singing your praises and being joyful. And the joy of the one who gives us everlasting life, let us go in peace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.